What are the purposes of oral argument from the judge's point of view? It's always important to have a sense of what they are trying to do and to understand their perspective. This is generally true in law, trying to understand how the other guy thinks, the other woman thinks, is a key to communication, no exception to oral argument. So the three main purposes, people can divide them into different categories. I like to do things in threes. This is actually sort of a demonstration of how I like to organize things for arguments. So number one, clarifying the facts and procedural posture of the case. The judges will not know the case as well as you do, or at least in most cases that is true. There are some judges who are unbelievably assiduous in assimilating the record, and not all of us have the time that we would like to get it straight. But in general, you should assume that you know more than they do, that they will ask you questions that will clarify their understanding. And it's important to be ready to provide that data for the court's decision. Second main purpose is probing the limits of your position. This takes the form often of the dreaded hypothetical question. We'll talk a little bit more about hypothetical questions. But appellate courts are doing more than deciding the case before them ordinarily. They are either applying or making law. And particularly in cases where your case may not be totally governed by some existing precedent, the court knows that what it says will have ramifications for other situations. This becomes all the more true as you ascend the appellate ladder, and by the time you get into the Supreme Court, understanding the limits of a position and its implications becomes one of the critical things that the court is trying to do. And the third basic bucket of things that are happening is figuring out the implications for the world of the position that you're taking. Now, this can be more or less significant depending on the case. If you're construing, you know, the meaning of an insurance contract, it may be one thing. If you're deciding whether an abortion law is unconstitutional, it may be something quite different. But even when the law does not necessarily say consequences are what drives decisions, most judges are very aware that law is a real-world process, and they would like to, if they can, render a decision that doesn't produce calamity and that, in fact, makes the world a better place. And it's always to your benefit to be able to assess these kinds of things. Recently, for example, the Supreme Court heard a case about faithless electors and whether an elector in the Electoral College can depart from the majority vote in the state, defy state law, and just vote for the candidate that the elector thinks is best. Now, that sounds like a very technical constitutional issue, and it is, and it involved kind of opaque open spaces in the Constitution and trying to figure out how history played in. That was the legal data. But if you go and listen to the oral argument, you'll see that there was an intense focus on what is going to be the effect on the world in voting for president if we adopt a view that the electors can vote who or whoever they want versus not? And Justice Kavanaugh perhaps put this most crystalline by saying, look, you know, this is a close case. There's no constitutional text that's right on point. So are we permitted in trying to decide which way to go if one decision will produce calamity and another decision will produce harmony? Is that something that we can look at? And then can you fill me in on the consequences of it? So those are the three main things that I think are going on. You could put in a sub-issue of what issues need to be addressed to decide the case, because oftentimes what you'll find is during the argument, there are options. It can be decided, like, for example, on a waiver ground, failure to preserve an issue, statute of limitations, merits, constitutional, statutory. The judges will be searching for common ground. I think that most appellate panels would like to, and most do, decide unanimously. And there may be issues that you can get all the judges to agree on, and others where they're going to divide. So they will try to figure out what issues have to be decided in that case versus what issues can be left for another day. And you get, in accordance with the purposes that I've described, questions that illuminate all of these issues. What's the limit of your position? Did you preserve this issue? If we decide it your way, what happens? And this is a critical point. Appellate arguments are often, maybe most often, a dialogue between the judges as much or more than they are a dialogue with advocates. That's a very humbling realization, and I have to kind of suppress it every time I prepared for an oral argument, because it's kind of hard if you go in there and think, like, they don't really care about me and what I say. I'm not very important to this process. Not good for confidence building, and what I want to give you are tools for confidence building, so it matters. But what matters most to them is what their colleagues think. So they're going to have conversations with each other, even if they're not saying a whole lot. That's what they're listening to most centrally. And occasionally an argument will break down where one judge will ask a question and another judge will answer it, and then they'll go back and forth, and you can feel like you're watching a ping pong match as the advocate. Don't want to get into that situation. You want them to be able to look to you for the explication. And so how do you get there? All right, so the goals of oral argument preparation, I'm going to try to make this a little bit more concrete than, and thank you for switching the slide, than just like, well, you know, answer their questions. Okay, so what I would want to have, whether it's physical or mental, is a list of the affirmative points that support your client's goal. What do you want the court to remember critically about your case when it leaves the bench? It's not going to remember every detail of what you said. These are the essential points. I often would tell people in preparation for argument, you can't really go above three. Cannot expect the court to come away with more than three points. And in fact, often it's just one.